God bless each and everyone this evening. Welcome to the Bible study. Just see people joining. God bless everyone who's joining. God bless the saints on YouTube as well. Wednesday's come again. Let's continue looking at the thought we started last week as we started looking at in the footsteps of the perfect man, looking at the statue of a perfect man, trying to relate it to ourselves and bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'd really desire to do that. What you wanted to look at this evening, I changed the title a bit from the morning, but to your faith add patience. We could even add more to that, but I think we'll see what you're trying to get to if the Lord would help us upon this evening. Wanting to follow in the footsteps of the perfect man, and we wanted to look at this thought about adding to your faith patience, and we'll also look at adding to your faith temperance, because these two things go very closely together. Very important aspect. So let's pray for the Lord's blessing that he'd help us before we approach his word. Father, how we need your grace as we approach your word. We want to take off our shoes now, want to humble ourselves, want to lay aside everything else and ask for your leadership, ask for your guidance, ask for your quickening and your grace, your blessing upon your people, your blessing upon your word, that you'd guide us according to your will this night, Lord. Father, let your will be done. Guide us in the way you'd have us to go. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Strengthen us, we pray. Equip us is our desire. Touch your people once again, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So God bless saints. So we're looking at to your faith add patience. We started looking last week at the statue of a perfect man, and we just were looking at the importance of that aspect of faith, that when you're looking at the statue of a perfect man, the very basis, the foundation is faith. So that you've got to have this faith. You've got to have this starting point. You've got to have this new birth. You've got to have this nature inside of you that can cooperate and work with God in order for him to be able to work in your life, to develop now this character of Christ, to develop now these attributes. Now, Paul brings up these seven virtues, puts them there and summarizes the stature of Christ in these seven virtues. But it needs this foundation of faith. To your faith add. If you look in our scripture, 2 Peter 1:5-6, beside this, giving all diligence. So we have to give diligence, we saw. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. So adding these things on, but you're going to see that this aspect of faith is such an important part of this. Especially on this one here, when the Lord's trying to add temperance inside of your life and wanting to add patience inside of your life. These are very, very important concepts. So let's look first at patience. And we'll then link it to temperance because they're two sides of the same coin, we'll see. So look in our statue of a perfect man. We've got our patience and our temperance. They're good examples to us of how the Lord develops this character inside of us. So we're not so much looking at each of these virtues. That's not really the scope of what you're trying to look at, but we're trying to look at how does the Lord develop these virtues inside of our life? So like the prophet says in how to overcome, if you know how to overcome, it doesn't matter what you have to overcome. So it doesn't matter which of these virtues the Lord needs to work inside of our lives, as long as we know how these virtues are worked inside of our lives. I mean, he's got his work he needs to do. We've got our part that we've got to play. And we'd just like to look at that principle this evening. I think it'll be enough to help us to understand his divine work. He's given us his precious promises. He's given us all that's required for life and godliness, Peter tells us. So we want to make sure that you're working together with him in his great vineyard inside of our lives so that he can achieve his purpose. Because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the Bible says. We want him to do his work. So we're looking first at patience. Now, the word patience, we'll see, in our English Bible is a passive word. The real word behind this in your Bible is more, not just a passive word, it's the word perseverance. Yeah, so perseverance is a little bit different than patience, as we'll see. But you know, they're very similar. The prophet preaches the message perseverance so many times. And if you want to understand what patience really is, you go and listen to those perseverance messages as well. It'll help you to see what the Lord wants to develop inside of our lives, how important it is for this material this character to be developed inside of us. So this word patience or perseverance that comes from this Greek word, hupomone, which means, comes from two words, mean hupo meaning under and meno meaning to stay, to remain, to abide. So it literally means to abide under, so to stay under. So this is what it is to be patient, to be perseverant. You know, so the idea is to remain under something. So when the Lord's dealing with you inside of your life, some sort of discipline, some sort of lesson is trying to teach you, you know, he wants you to remain under. He wants you to submit yourself to something which needs the consent of your will, because God cannot develop anything inside of us unless we allow him to develop it. So it's this remaining under what he's doing, giving him permission, giving him your will to do something. Listen what the definition is. Well, I think I might know. Sorry, I don't have it on this one here. But the definition is subjecting yourself to something which demands the submission of your will to something which naturally you would rebel against. You know, so here comes something inside of your life. Here comes a circumstance, a situation. Here comes somebody, something, something adverse, something which doesn't go your way. Something's taking too long. You know, somebody's getting on your case. You're in a situation that naturally you would rebel against. Naturally, you do not want that situation. You don't want to be there. But patience now, or perseverance, is that ability, that virtue in you now, which quickens you at that time and allows you to abide under that lesson, that tutor, that whatever it is that the Lord's trying to teach you at that time. So patience is this ability that when something comes in like that, it's not your natural virtue now. It's not your natural patience. Your natural patience, my natural patience will run out very quickly. But it's a supernatural something that he's worked inside of us that allows us, when those circumstances come, something kicks in and we stay submissive. And that's how you can see it's going to need faith, because we cannot ever stay submissive to the Lord in things we don't understand or things we don't want to go through without faith. I mean, you'll just never be able to do it. It's not going to work. So it's a very powerful combination, this. It's like if you have faith, which is your foundation, then a surrendered will. You surrender your will to the Lord. And then the working of the Holy Ghost, what he's trying to achieve in your life through that circumstance, that is the combination that gets character developed inside of you. So you've got the faith, you're trusting in the Lord, even though you might not understand. So you're submitting your will. You've got a surrendered heart. You're willing to say, Lord, take me through. Lord, thy will be done. And then with his working, the circumstances, the situation, the anointing, the working of his spirit, the great potter working in your hand in that situation, with that attitude, that atmosphere, now he can develop something inside of you. Now he can take you further, take you deeper, mature you, bring you closer to perfection. But we need these things together. We need all three of these things. We need his divine work, but we've got to give him our permission to do this work. And that's why sometimes in the tough things of life, that's when faith has to kick in, because your natural man is going to rebel against it, saying, I don't want to go through this. Why do I have to go through this? So you've got to have faith. There's got to be that supernatural element of trusting in him. Otherwise, you'll never be able to develop anything inside of your life. So we need this. We need to add to our faith these things. Faith is going to be, it's going to be like the cement that's going to be in all of his dealings with us. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this prerequisite of patience and perseverance is faith. I mean, you absolutely will see that as we go through. Because it's not easy for us to stay under conditions that, or circumstances or situations that we don't like and we don't understand. Now you can only go so long in your human faith there, your human patience there. If there's no supernatural faith, if there's no real relationship between you and Christ, to trust in him when it's dark, to take you by the hand and to just, okay, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. It's going to be very, very difficult, because you're going to rebel against these things. That's why it's beyond your natural virtue. The prophet says that in stature of a perfect man, many people have natural patience. I mean, some people are born, some people are nice people, some have patience, but that's not going to get it done. Your intellectual faith will fail when there's divinely appointed trial. When the Lord is doing something inside of your life, That's how I put the next one. I said, only the divine nature can withstand the fullness of divine trial. Now, as the Lord takes you deeper and deeper, wants to teach you more and more and fashion things inside of you and take you through the floods and the trials that he wants you to go through to make himself real to you and, you know, to get the you in you out. It's going to need a divine nature. It's going to need something beyond your natural self inside of there to be able to go through these divine trials with him. That's why it's going to need faith. And we see that very clearly. Now, Abraham says, we know this quote from ever-present water from the rock, but I think it really summarizes it well. He says, now you say then, Brother Branham, why is it that we do not do the things that we should do? Okay, why do we fall short? How is it that our gifts and things in the church does not come to its color, to where it should be? How is it our church does not lift up to the spot where it should be? Now, why is it that, you know, like the brother was preaching on the weekend? Yeah, I think it was Brother Vusi saying about, you know, a man can be a minister, he can preach, he can be very anointed and gifted, but you find that, yay, if the character's lacking, you know, if there's something lacking inside there, like we saw last week, that's a stumbling block to the unbeliever that hinders God's work from going forward, that breaks up unity, that sows strife and division in the body of Christ. You know, anointed people, people that are gifted, but without this kind of character. And that's what the prophet's speaking about here. How is it that our gifts and things never really come to the place that they should, never seem to fully achieve the purpose that they should? And our church, you know, Lord, surely you should be taking us deeper. Our faith should be growing and we should see more of your manifestation in our lives and in our midst. Then he answered, he says, the people in the testing time drops away like Israel did. They think that God has left them. So the lack there is the faith. You see, it's that walking together with him. And therefore, your will, you start to rebel. In another place, it says you'll rebel and go back like Israel did. You know, when the Lord takes you through those things, after a while, you'll get tired of it yourself. If there's not the supernatural element of a relationship with Christ, of a trust in him, it'll definitely come to the stage you're going to run out of your natural patience, run out of your natural temperance, run out of your intellectual faith, and you're going to rebel and go back. And you're going to say, I'm just not interested in this. If ever you watched or you read Pilgrim's Progress, you'll see the man Pliable. Just when Christian comes out of the city of destruction, whatever it is, then he meets that guy Pliable and he seems to want to walk along with him. Then they fall into the mud, the discouragement. And the guy says, what? You were speaking about streets of gold and this and that. Where's the streets of gold? And back he goes to his doom. Yeah, it's that kind of a thing. You can't go very far. You can never get anywhere in the stature of a perfect man without walking with Christ in your own simple way. There's got to be a divine reality. Otherwise, it'll really catch you out. And I think that's one thing you'll see from this over and over again. The people in the testing time, they drop away. They don't have patience. They don't have temperance at that time when they need it. So when the test comes, when there's a Red Sea and there's no path through it, now the people start to doubt, start to murmur. Now there's no food. Now there's no water. Ah, we're tired of this manna. Ah, we've been wandering this wilderness for too long. You see, you know, there was something lacking in the experience, in that wilderness journey. And that's why they never got into the promised land. And that's not what the Lord wants it to be. So, when you're speaking of patience, like we said, this is now speaking of perseverance, that power in you to persevere under trial. It's not a natural thing, but it works in your nature, but it's God has to develop inside of us. And this word, patience, describes that quality of character. This is from the Bible dictionary, which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or to surrender to circumstances under trial. So there's a character inside of you beyond your human ability that when you think this ash heap is too much, I can't take it anymore. There's a certain gear, certain something that kicks in at that time. There's an ability. There's a character inside of you, a virtue inside of you, which is called patience, which is called perseverance, that kicks in at that time. When the natural man and the people that are trying to do it in their own strength go back, like Orpah when she goes so far with Naomi, but then Ruth, something kicks in at that time. Your God be my God. Your people be my people. Nothing but death will separate us. That's the kind of persevering faith that we're speaking about when you speak about patience. Perseverance or patience is that spiritual staying power. That's what it says. That will die before it gives it. There's something in the genuine believer that'll just let it perish. But I'm not going to give in. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to go all the way through. Yeah, I'm just going to, so that's what I mean, that one there. I'm going to trust in the Lord. So it's spiritual staying power. That's what perseverance is. Can you see how important this one is, saints? It's really important that we need to really allow the Lord to develop these things inside of our lives. And as we said, in the springtime when the wheat comes up, like now it's very tender, the sun is not very hot. But let midsummer come and see how the sun bakes down. And that speaks that the Lord, he governs trial. In the days of your infancy, your youth, just when you're starting to grow, he holds back the hardest of the trials. The sun doesn't bake down in you. But as you develop and you grow and get strong and you're able to withstand these things, now the sun gets higher in the sky until in midsummer, you can take the fullness of persecution, that wheat plant, and what it does, it just brings it to maturity. Now that persecution, the sun's not going to damage the plant. It's going to ripen the plant. And that's why we need this perseverance, the steadfastness inside of us so that he can take the work to perfection, to maturity, to completeness inside of our lives. So we need faith. We need to give him permission. We've got to be walking together with him. And then he develops himself by his promises, by his spirit, by his works, through whatever we're going through, this character inside of us. So it's spiritual staying power. So you continue doing what's right and you don't give in even when temptation comes. That's what it is. So this is not just a passive patience where you just take all the blows, but it's more like a conquering. It's an overcoming patience. It's a perseverance. It's a virtue. There's a power in this perseverance here. No, it's a spiritual power. So all the blows of life that come, that's okay. You know, it'll take them and it'll get up and just keep moving forward. That's a powerful thing. And that's what you desire inside of our lives. Because this attitude, our faith, our surrendered will, and whatever he's working at that time, whatever the circumstances have produced, it creates the right conditions for his power of transformation to start working in our lives. Now he can transform. Now he can fashion us. If you're in that kind of a situation, if you've got that kind of an atmosphere. So faith working together with patience transforms stumbling blocks to stepping stones. Without faith, it's going to be a stumbling block to you. You're going to get stumbled and say, I never signed up for this. Yeah, I never thought it was going to be like this. Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. Unless this man's very mature, you know, in his faith, unless this man has a real perseverance inside of himself on his 3 days journey, he's going to give up and say, this is a stumbling block. How can it be? But God knows the maturity of the man. This man has real patience with God. You know, he trusts in the Lord. He's going to see it through. There's something that kicks in, a spiritual something can kick in when anybody else would have given up. But he has a certain something in his character. And that allows, instead of it being a stumbling block, it becomes a stepping stone. It becomes a blessing. God turns the trial into a blessing. Now he transforms it with the power of transformation. Because we don't want to be stumbled by these things. And that's why the key here is attitude. Now, patience is an attitude, it's a real attitude inside of us that makes the difference between one person who prospers in the midst of difficulties and another person who's stumbled by them. It's your attitude in it. The prophet says your attitude in trial will make all the difference. So faith working together. So you need this faith. So faith gives you the supernatural ability to remain in the spirit of the composer, even when you don't understand what this page of the sheet music really means. Where's the sheet music leading me to? Now, you don't fully understand the relevance of, I don't understand where this is all going, but something kicks in it and you can still stay in the spirit of the composer trusting that it's all going to work out well. I may not understand why I've got to play this part now. I don't understand what's coming next or how this all fits in with the rest of it. But all I know now, let me stay in this with the composer and play my part. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. Let me play what I'm supposed to play. So you keep on playing and you play in harmony, even where you don't understand. You know, and that's a key. That's what the sixth sense is, faith. You know, it sees things which other people can't see. It sees the unseen. It looks beyond the affliction. It looks beyond the triad, and it sees a blessing is going to come. And your reasoning will say, what blessing? He says, I don't know. You know, how is it good? This going to work out to be a blessing? I don't know. But the faith, it knows. And then perseverance now is developed, kicks in at that time, and you have this like supernatural strength. So when you look at the statue of a perfect man, those two in the middle, the patience and temperance, you combine these two things together, you're going to get self-control. If you have temperance and you have patience, this is now self-control. And this is what we all need. Now you're going to read it in the statue of a perfect man. You know, temperance and patience. These two things, they got some similarities, but they got some differences, which you're going to look at. But if you bring these two things together, they're very similar in certain aspects, but combined together, they're going to give you self-control over all circumstances, over all manner of trial. Yeah. So temperance refers to patience mainly with respect to persons. So we mainly need temperance when people give us a hard time. Yeah, so that's one aspect of trial that comes. We're going to need temperance. Moses is going to need temperance for those 2 million people in the wilderness. But patience, which is perseverance or endurance, normally refers to patience with respect to things. So like you're going through sickness, you're going through hardship in your home, you're going through, it could involve people as well. But generally, patience is more to do with afflictions, with tribulations, with sufferings, with lack, with necessities. You know, you're something which you've got to endure over a length of time. With temperance is more you having to bear with somebody. Patience now. The trials we undergo over a longer period of time. That's normally where you need patience to keep. It's like endurance, perseverance, something that you can just kick into fifth gear now. And say, look, I'm going to get into cruise now because don't know how long that's going to take, but I'm just going to get in the channel, stay in the spirit of the composer. I'm going to ride this out together with the Lord. So patience, generally speaking of endurance under trial over a long period of time, these tribulations, afflictions, persecutions, yeah, that's basically what it's meaning. So temperance now is this virtue now, is the overcoming power within to overcome trials from within. So temperance, you need to overcome the money, the woman, the popularity. It's those kind of trials. With patience or perseverance, is you normally overcoming trials from without. So this is now someone in your life who's a grief to you. You know, Job with his comforters now. You know, he's going to have to kick in now. Yeah, to have temperance because he's got his comforters, and then he's got all of his outside circumstances. He's lost everything. He's lost his health. Now, there's different categories of trials. There's trials from within, the inward trials more, and there's trials from without. You know, so we need both of these things to give us self-control over whatever manner of trial, situation, circumstance, temptation, whether it's coming from within, we're being tempted by something, whether it's coming by without, somebody's a temptation to us, somebody's a trial to us, you know, somebody's mean to us, you know, somebody's lying about us. You know, so this temperance and patience, they're similar, but they kick in under different types of trial, although you need both of them in the stature of a perfect man. So you can just see a bit of a subtle difference there between temperance. Normally, it's that something that you need to kick in within, and then patience, you've got to kick in to the trials without. But both of them, it's a supernatural power. It's an overcoming power, which is beyond your human ability. But he's developed it inside of there that when it's needed, you kick into that gear, that something kicks in and you can go through. Doesn't mean it's easy, but there's something that comes to endure to the end. because that's what the Lord wants us to have. So these are the attributes of the overcomer. You can see these are all attributes of overcoming. This will equip you to overcome. And the more you overcome, the more these things are developed inside of you. That's how the Lord can entrust you with deeper and deeper circumstances, situations, trials over time, because you are able, he's enabled you more to overcome more. He's equipped you and developed this inside of you. If you think about, before we get to that, think about Jesus, the great overcomer. Now, at the beginning, it was many trials from within. He's in the wilderness. You know, he's hungry. Turn the stones to bread. Pride. Throw yourself off the temple. The kingdoms of the world. You know, he's trying to tempt Jesus, you know, with an inward temptation. So Jesus is going to need temperance to kick in at that time. That's when you need temperance. But then when Satan sees, I can't overcome him, like, and he changes the entire situation, Jesus gets up to Jerusalem. Now it becomes an outward trial now. Beatings and buffetings and spitting in his face and pain and persecutions and lying and that, you know. Now he's going to need patience to endure. He's going to need to look beyond the cross. He's going to have patience to endure, to overcome that. So there's different kinds of trials. They can come at the same time. Trials can be mixed between this. But once these two qualities are developed in the life of a person, it doesn't matter which nature of trial. Like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he overcame all manner of trial and temptation. Trials from without, trials from within. You know, trials of people trying to trap him, people lying about him, Judas selling him for 30 pieces of silver. The painful trials. Then also those personal trials, the woman at the well. He had to be tempted in all ways like unto us without sin. And it goes to the marriage of Cana, drunkenness. It means he has to be tempted like us. Every trial, every temptation you find, there was a temptation there. He could have sinned, but he chose not to. Now he had the overcoming power. He prevailed and he overcame in every one of those situations. Now, if you take it to the two Johns, there's John the Baptist and there's John on Patmos. Now, John the Baptist, he had very powerful virtue inside of himself to overcome the inward trials. You know, I mean, he was a temperate man. He never drank. You know, he lived out in the wilderness. He never got the money, woman, popularity. Those weren't a problem to him. That wasn't the nature of trial that he found difficult. He was a rugged man of the wilderness. Now, he wasn't tempted by money. That wasn't a problem to him. But what was a problem when the nature of trial changed to a trial of circumstances to when he's put in the prison? Now he's put in a long persecution, a situation which took longer than he thought. He's shut up in a prison house. He doesn't want to be in this situation. He doesn't like, he's an eagle. He wants to be flying in the heights. But the eagle's been put in a cage. Now this one started to work on him until his eagle eyes started to form over. You know, so you can see there's different kinds of trial. And this wasn't easy. Now he has to go through this situation, allow Christ to minister to him in this situation so he can prevail and overcome in this kind of situation, because he's never been in a situation like this before. Yeah. Yet he's been such a powerful overcomer. No man born of woman until then was greater than John. But yet this trial now of his patience almost overcame him. And he needed Christ to minister the word to him, to give him that something that he could rest and overcome in the midst of this trial. Where's this different than John and Patmos? Because John's put in prison as well, but he quickly kicks in. Faith kicks in and he realizes, I'm here for a purpose. There's a divine purpose in this trial. You know, so he doesn't kick against the bricks. His eagle eye doesn't form. In fact, he breaks into heavenly places. What to John, the prison almost became a stumbling block to him. With John on Patmos, the trial became a stepping stone to glory for him, a stepping stone into revelations, into things that he had never, ever seen or experienced, ever knew even existed before that. You know, so that's how we're saying these qualities in us, they can transform it. Instead of being a stumbling block, it becomes a stepping stone, which is the divine purpose of putting us in situations. The Lord wants to make himself more real, wants to develop himself more inside of us. You know, so every situation, but without that faith, without that surrendered will, it very easily becomes a stumbling block. And we rebel and we go back. And then we never get to what we're supposed to be as a believer. Our gifts never come to what they're supposed to be, like the brother was saying. You know, our church never rises to where it's supposed to be. Somebody speaks about us in church. Now we don't have the temperance inside of us to kick in. We don't have the patience inside of us to kick in, to endure the trial, to allow that circumstance to work in us what God wanted to work in us. But instead, our will takes control. How can they speak to me like that? Don't then, I can also do the same to them, you see. And now it's become a stumbling block instead of a stepping stone. Now it's become something which it's hindering your growth instead of being an opportunity for you to grow spiritually. You know, for the Lord to work something by keeping the atmosphere, the attitude right inside of yourself. So his power of transformation could work, whatever it was he's trying to work. Instead, now our will shuts him out. And now it becomes an offense. And now we started being offended, and the people around us now, we start influencing them. They also start getting offended by the same thing. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. The Lord doesn't want it to be like that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We don't have any answers, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are cast down, but we're not destroyed. You see, that's the nature of a man who's got patience, has got perseverance. You know, he's got this ability inside of himself that he's perplexed. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have the answer. But he's not in despair. He says, it's okay. The Lord will bring me out. Yeah, you go and read 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10. It's wonderful to see. He's troubled on every side, but he's not distressed. It's okay. The Lord's in control. Now we're in a boat that's about to sink. The Lord promised me to get to Rome. Faith kicks in. His will submissive to the Lord. The angel steps down. Nobody will be lost. And God takes what could have been a great stumbling block and turns it into a stepping stone, into a testimony. And then they land on Melita, and they go and praise for the governor, his father, the man's healed, and the gospel gets into the country. You know, so the Lord had a purpose, even in the storm and the shipwreck where they were and everything. And it was his attitude that something that kicked in when everybody else had given up, was getting offended by the situation. It was that allowed the power of transformation to work when it wasn't working in the lives of other people. Now, when you look at this, these two characteristics, temperance, patience, especially temperance, this is the time of the ox age. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. No, so you can see the anointing that you need at a time like this is that ox anointing, the laboring sacrifice, the beast of burden, you know, to be able to take the yoke and endure like an ox. That's the time. If you look, this is how he develops the believer, but this is also how the Lord develops his church the same way. So in the dark ages, that's when the temperance and the patience were developed inside of the church. And that's what it's going to be the same as us. In the dark times, your dark ages, that's God's opportunity to allow the anointing of the ox to kick in inside of your life. You know, the laboring sacrifice, laying yourself down and allowing the Lord to work something inside of you. That's when he worked patience and temperance in the church ages. And yeah, that's what he wants to work inside of us. Look even at what he says to that Thyatiran church age, the age of temperance, Columba there. This is what he says to it in the church ages. Revelations 2:18, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, verse 19, I know your works and your charity and service and faith and thy patience. That's that same word there, that endurance. I see your endurance. There's that woman Jezebel. There's all this persecution. People are being put to death. But you're willing to endure right to the end. There's something inside you that's kicking in saying, we're not going to give in to this. We're going to stand faithful. We're going to stand true, even if it costs us our lives. That's patience now kicking in under circumstances and trials. That's what's kicking in at a time. Because I know your patience. And that's why this is the time of the martyrs. Now, this is why patience is not simply the ability to bear things, but it's the ability to turn it into greatness and to glory. So No, it's not just like you just, oh, I hope I can make it through. Hey, if only I can make it through. No, that's patience. That's okay. But it's that ability that in the midst of it all, that darkest hour, Job on the ash heap, becomes the most glorious hour. You see, patience has the ability, when you're working together, patience creates the right atmosphere. God's power to transform comes into that atmosphere now and transforms that situation. When it seemed like it was your darkest hour, it becomes the most glorious hour. When you be put in the lion's den, becomes a glorious thing because the angel of the Lord comes down. When you're being asked to be patient right into the fiery furnace, now for the first time you meet the fourth man in the fire, one like unto the Son of God. You know, so you can see this characteristic is so important. When this kicks in, the right attitude, keeping faith, adding to your faith, patience. This atmosphere that it creates, this attitude you've got inside of yourself, just, okay, Lord, I'm going through with you. Father, glorify your name. Then you find the Lord can take the difficult situation that you naturally would rebel against. It's, I don't want this. But that inward ability kicks in, that character inside of you to say, it's fine, Lord. All things work together for good. What is it you want me to learn here? Father, you wanted to manifest yourself in a more real way. You see, so it's a whole attitude to how you approach things. That's why we need this patience. That's why we need this temperance to be added to our faith. Our faith is working and God can start to work these things inside of us as well. So it's not just to endure, but this is the ability to turn it into a victory from being a difficult situation. That's what it just in the definition in the Bible dictionary, it says this, it says that the ability to turn, it says, the thing which amazed the heathen in the centuries of persecution was that the martyrs did not die grimly. They died singing. You see, in that age of temperance and those age of patience, it wasn't just ever going there to the stake saying, hey, I hope I can make it through. There was victory in it. They went and something kicked in and gave them a victory over the fire, gave them a testimony in the midst of the test. You see, that's this ability inside, this patience, this temperance. When it kicks in, it transforms the situation. One smiled in the flames. This is what they say in history. And they asked him when he was in the flames, one of the martyrs, they asked him what he found to smile at. And he said, I saw the glory of God and I was glad. You know, that something kicks in. You've kept the right attitude. You've kept your faith. Now something, not a natural virtue, a supernatural something kicks in. A perseverance, an endurance that allows you to endure things that another person can't endure. And in the midst of it, it's not just a grim enduring, but there's the glory of God with you in the things that you're doing. His transforming power is with you right in the midst of the flames. That's why they call it a conquering patience. It's patience that conquers. It's not just passive, but it conquers the situation, changes the situation. So it's not just the ability or the quality which makes a man able. Yeah. It makes you able not simply to suffer things, but to vanquish them. That's what overcoming is. Now, you're not just scraping through Laodicea, like, you know, the t-shirt, I survived Laodicea, like people always showing. It's not that. No, it's beyond that. Yes, you overcome at first and then something kicks in and it becomes glory. And now it's you and him in the midst of whatever that it is. Okay, now, Lord, I'm glad you put me in this situation. This has been glorious. You made yourself more real. You've purified my faith. You've quickened me. Whatever, you've developed something inside of me. It's conquering patience. That's what it is. Now, if you take this example, we've looked at it several times in church, of Thomas Hawkes. You find it in Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's a wood carving of him in the flames. Now, this really shows perseverance now, endurance, patience now. In those dark ages with that anointing of the ox, that ability to endure, not only to endure, but to break through into a spiritual realm that you don't only endure, but a testimony, glory comes out of it. You know, so he was with six others. He was condemned on the 9th of February, 1555. Okay, so they speak about him as a very, very sincere Christian. But then here I put it, a little before his death, several of Mr. Hawke's friends, terrified by the sharpness of the punishment he was going to suffer, privately desired that in the midst of the flames, he should show them some token. Whether the pains of the burning were so great that a man may not collectively endure it. So they said, Thomas, this is tough. Hey, I don't think it's you able, nobody if you're a Christian, doesn't no man can get burnt alive in a fire and endure it. What are you trying to say? And he's saying, the Lord will see to that. The same one who's led me to this trial is the same one that'll lead me through this trial. So they said, okay, Thomas, when you get in the fire, give us something, show us something. If you're able to bear it, if there's victory in the midst of the trial, give us a token. This he promised to do. And it was agreed that if the rage of the pain might be suffered, that he should lift up his hands above his head towards heaven before he gave up the ghost. So if he was having victory while he is suffering in the flame, if there was glory, if it wasn't a stumbling block, but if it was a stepping stone, he must raise up his hands before he dies while he's in the fire. And they're watching and they're saying, yay, this is tough. Like I want to say, take a match, put your finger in the flame. Take a candle. It's a serious thing to think about being burnt. You can't do it in your own ability. You can't get into a trial like that and prevail and overcome and glorify God in your own ability. It needs a something else to kick in. It needs a certain supernatural patience in you. And then the transforming power of God comes into that atmosphere and does a wondrous thing for you in the midst of your trial. So he agreed to that. So a little bit after that, he was taken away and they prepared him for the fire and all that, put a chain around his waist. Then he spoke to the people around him about many things. It says he poured out his soul unto God. Then they lit the fire now. And when he had continued in it, and his speech was taken away by violence of the flame, his skin was drawn together. He's being burnt alive in a fire. And his fingers consumed with the fire, so that it was thought that he was gone. Suddenly, and contrary to all expectation, this good man, being mindful of his promise, reached up his hands, burning in flames over his head to the living God, with great rejoicings, as it seemed, struck or clapped them three times together. And a great shout, the crowd now glorified God. They shouted following this wonderful circumstance. And then this blessed martyr of Christ, sinking down in the fire, gave up his spirit, June 10, 1555. Friends, that's not a natural thing there. That's a supernatural something. For someone to be able to endure that. Imagine you have to endure the prison before that, and they're offering you pardon if you'll renounce what you believe in. Maybe they take you to see others being burnt before you. And they say, you don't have to be burnt. Just renounce. Just come back to the mother church again. Just renounce that false doctrine that you believe. That faith, this perseverance, refuses to give in. It's a something that just kicks in there and says, nope, I'm going to be faithful even unto death. Because that's what we were commissioned to do. In the Smyrna church age, Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. And his revelation to them was, I am he that was dead and now I'm alive. You know, I live forevermore. You know, so the word came with an anointing. Someone kicks in the gear of perseverance, has the right attitude. Faith is added. The atmosphere is there. God's power can move in now. And God can do things in the life of a person in the darkest of times that it becomes the most glorious of times for them. But that's what patience, that's what temperance, those are the things that need to kick in at that kind of a time to make it into a stepping stone to a higher realm, to bring forth a testimony to the glory of God. You can't do it in your own strength. I've spoken of it many times. The other one in Fox's Book of Martyrs, they brought him, he saw another man burning, and he had been so faithful in the prison. He had been so faithful under the trial so far. But when he saw somebody burning at the stake, he said, I can't burn, I can't burn. Yeah. He realized that in my own strength, my own ability, I can't do this. And then the priest all ran to him and said, do you want to recant? He said, no, I'm not speaking of that. Leave me alone that I may pray. Then he got on his knees and he poured out his heart to the Lord. And then now the patience, the perseverance, that something kicked in his character. Now the anointing came into that atmosphere, the glory of God. Then he stood up and he said, I can burn. I can burn. And they took him and he was burnt at the stake. And you can just see, friends, it's not a natural virtue we're speaking of. It's not a natural ability. That can only go so far. That'll run out. The trials can be too fiery. The trials can take too long. Now, Abraham, 25 years waiting for a son. He's going to need a supernatural something in his experience. Something's going to kick in an endurance, a perseverance. So he can continue in faith, walking with God, staggering not at the promises of God through unbelief. He added to his faith patience, perseverance. That's what Abraham had. You know, so we need these things. It's more and more we need to allow the Lord to take us through things and develop these things in our lives by the circumstances that he takes us through. Our attitude in the midst of those circumstances. That's the key to it. Our attitude in the midst of the things we're going through. Let's think of the patience of Job before we come to a close. Now, I mean, patience, we're speaking of patience, endurance. My, think of Job. When they came and they told him now, you know, he's given as an example in James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy with which endure. You see the endurance, the blessing, the happiness comes to them that endure. The testimonies, the deeper walk with Christ, the deeper manifestations of God, they come to them that endure, that are willing to walk through with him when the way is dark, when the way is fearful, when the way doesn't seem to make sense. That you add faith now to your patience and you walk together with him. Count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience. That's exactly the word there. Same patience to be developed in you and me in the stature of a perfect man. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. So God doesn't put us in these situations for nothing. There's an end of the Lord. And if you have You endure. If you have the same patience like Job, you will see the end of the Lord in your situation, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Job 42, the end of Job was far more blessed than the beginning. God gave him double what he lost, plus all the testimonies, plus the I know my Redeemer lives, plus all the other things the Lord did, the revelation of God in the whirlwind. And where were you before the foundation of the world? All that came because he was patient and endured in the midst of his trial. Yet his wife, not even 30 minutes into the trial, was saying, curse God and die. I mean, you know, the same trial. But here one has got an attitude that's right. And what does Job do? He doesn't just passively sit back, you know, crying and being consoled by people. He goes to the altar, puts the sacrifice on the altar, kneels down, and he worships the Lord. And he says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, that's faith added to your patience. But he's going to need temperance as well, because here comes his wife. Here comes the three brothers from church, the three deacons, Eliphaz and his two buddies. And they're coming, and what did they do? They became a bigger trial to him just about the other one. One was a trial from within, Satan trying to get him to doubt. God doesn't love you. If God loves you, why does he allow this to happen? He overcomes that. He worships God. Then comes a trial from without now. Here comes people to accuse him now. Now, those three comforters became a trial of his temperance. And you'll see getting on later on, brotherly kindness had to kick in when the Lord said, I'm not going to hear the prayers of these three men. You, Job, need to go and pray for these. Right? That's when the gear of forgiveness, love shall cover the multitude of sins. Brotherly kindness has to kick in. But we've heard of the patience of Job. It's a great, great example. Yeah, just on the definition of that, I like this little thing. So speaking of this one, patience, endurance, it describes not a passive patience, but that gallant spirit which can breast the tides of doubt and sorrow and disaster and come out with faith still stronger on the other side. You know, so you'll go through the storm and you'll say, hey, we're going to sing. No, Jesus is in the boat. Jesus wouldn't have told us to cast out into the sea if there wasn't the end of the Lord that he has in mind. Yeah. So you go through it. You go through the waves, the doubt, the sorrow, the disasters, one wave after another, like Job. But when you come out at the end, that faith, that endurance, that perseverance kicks you right the way through. And your faith is stronger at the end than it was at the beginning. And that was the purpose of the trial. And God has been given the glory, he's given a public testimony maybe to other people. He strengthened other people's faith by the things that you've been through, by your attitude through trial. God has been glorified in so many different ways. Now listen to this one here. There may be a faith which never complained or questioned, but still greater is that faith which was tortured by questions and still believed. This is Job's situation. So many questions torturing him. Why does God allow that? How can you think that God loves you? You know, so you're going through the storm, you're being buffeted, but something kicks in. I'm still going to wait. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Hey, that doesn't mean you don't have doubts sometimes and questions trouble you and you know, all these things assail you, but there's an ability that kicks in. Like the prophet at the bedside of Sharon Rose, that's something that kicks in at that time when Satan says, can you still worship God? And he says, everything he was telling me was the truth. And I was about to say, if that's how he treats me, I won't worship him. Then something kicked in from beyond reasoning, beyond your human. There's something kicks in and says, who am I anyhow? The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Get behind me, Satan. You see, that's something that kicks in at a time like that. It's not a natural virtue. This isn't something natural. It works together with the natural virtue, but there's the supernatural element of patience. That's something when your natural patience comes to an end, there's like something kicks in and you can continue to believe when there doesn't seem to be any reason to believe. Continue to wait when everybody else is telling you, why wait? You've waited long enough. How long are you going to wait? But that something is just steadfast inside of you. That's patience, but it needs faith. If you don't have faith, you can never, ever come to the end and see the end of the Lord unless there's faith working together with that patience to create that atmosphere that the power of transformation can transform that situation into a blessing like it did with Job. You can be tortured with questions and things you don't understand. It doesn't matter. Yeah, God's going to bring you through to the, on the other side. One of the early church fathers, I found this quote, I liked it, when he speaks about this characteristic of patience, of endurance. He calls it the root of all good. Yeah? The fruit that never withers. You know, so if you have this patience inside you, this endurance, it's like it's something that never withers. It's a fortress that is never taken. You know, Satan can assail you and he can try this and that, but that something kicks in, he can't take the fortress. It's a harbor that knows no storms. The storms bash all around, but there's a patience inside. There's an endurance. There's a supernatural strength. There's a something inside of you there that just keeps holding on. There's an anchor that holds you in the time of storm, but knows no storm. He says, it's peace in war and calm in the tempest. That's what patience is, together with your faith. The world will be falling apart. Everything's wrong. Think of Job. His children have died. He's lost all of his riches and his health. And he's fallen out of harmony with his wife. But inside of his soul, there's calm in the tempest. You have heard of the patience of Job. Friends, that's a characteristic. You know, we all want to jump many times. You want this, that, and the other. Want big gifts, big ministries, whatever. This is what you should be desiring. This is what I desire. This is the real thing, friends. This is the basis, the foundation, the great building blocks for the Lord to build great things inside your life, to trust you with great things, to give you great anointing, to give you the power of the spoken word. Because there's a right character inside of there to bear the power now. But he's going to put you through the trial first and then develop inside and take you stage by stage, putting patience, putting temperance, putting this endurance inside of you so that you can endure no matter what it is that comes. Now he finishes off and he says, it is that courageous and triumphant ability to pass the breaking point and not to break. When everybody else is broken, now that's it, it's enough. We're going back to Egypt. Here's Caleb. He passes the breaking point, but he doesn't break. Because there's something supernatural. He has another spirit with him. He's got a certain character. He's trusting in God. He's adding to his faith, patience, endurance, perseverance. Going through the same trials where so many made shipwreck of their faith, but he doesn't make shipwreck of his faith. When the storm is sinking so many, he's in the haven of rest in his soul. His mind might have lots of thoughts, but in his heart, something kicks in. He's got the right attitude. He's got a surrendered will. He's still got his faith. Creates an atmosphere. Patience can be developed inside of that. It says to pass the breaking point and not to break. And to always greet the unseen with a cheer. Well, when you don't understand, your sixth sense will say, this is good. You'll be saying, this is a disaster. But that faith inside said, this is good. Something, I'm going to learn something from this. God's going to do something for me here. This is going to come out glorious in the end. You see, that kind of an ability inside. Then he finishes off. He says, it's the alchemy, the chemistry, which transmutes, transforms tribulation into strength and glory. You know, so this patience, this endurance, this is the element inside of you that you need in your character so that God can work with using that element, that nature, that atmosphere and your attitude. And he can transform things into strength and glory. He can transform any situation into a testimony, any situation into something for your benefit if you've got this developed inside of you. It's not going to stumble you. There's no stumbling blocks then. They're all stepping stones to the next stage, to where the Lord's trying to get you to. So he was one of the church fathers. Let's finish with James 1, verse 2. This is why James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Yay. Those kind of scriptures are not popular in this age. Count it all joy when you fall. No, you never planned it. Just bum. You fell into a temptation. Somebody sends you a harsh message. Somebody misunderstands you. Someone you're trying to help them and they just keep on misunderstanding your motives and your objectives. Count it all joy. Don't get burdened and sit there and say, I don't like this. No. Add faith. Let to your faith add patience. Add temperance. If it's a person giving a hard time, let temperance kick in. If it's becoming a trial, the circumstance, let patience kick in. He says, knowing this. This is knowledge now. If you get onto knowledge, we'll understand experiential knowledge from the past. The Lord wants us to know this, that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, to putting your faith in the fire, works patience. So how does patience, endurance, perseverance get worked in us when he tries our faith? You've got to have the foundation of faith. Then when you believe he takes you through something, it's taking long, you know, it doesn't seem to make any sense, your faith is being tested in the fire. But the trying of your faith, if you hold on to your faith, hold on, it works patience inside of you. It puts character, it puts endurance, it puts a perseverance inside of you. But there's a part we have to play, verse 4. But let patience, allow patience. That's the act of your will. You have to allow patience to have her perfect work. You've got to have the right attitude to say, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to allow my something to kick in here. I'm just going to keep holding on to the Lord right the way to the end. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm sure we all desire that. To be perfect, to be complete, to be mature, fully equipped, not lacking things inside of your life for your calling, so that you start preaching and you become a stumbling block to people because you love money. Or you love popularity, or you can't be temperate, you don't have patience towards people. No, you can't do that. You want the Lord to develop these things. He has an end that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then he says, okay, now many of us don't understand this principle. Verse 5. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In the midst of your trial, you can say, Lord, I don't understand. Give me wisdom of how to handle this situation. Give me wisdom how to handle myself. Give me wisdom of how I should conduct myself, Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we need to ask him for wisdom, for grace in the midst of the trial. Then the final verse, he does it a few verses later, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's patience. That endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So if you want to be blessed inside of your life, you're going to need patience. You're going to need endurance. Because blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that comes to the end of the Lord. That comes to Job chapter 42. And the Lord gives you the most beautiful daughters in the land. And already your children, your seven children already in glory, and he gives you another seven on earth. So you end up with 14 in glory. And he doubles your oxen, doubles your cattle, doubles all the riches that you had in the end. Plus you've got all the spiritual riches and vitamins and testimonies. And God has been glorified. He's far more real to you. And you've come to the end of the Lord because of the patience of Job. So blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, so you can just see that those attributes we need to your faith and patience. Submission, let patience have a perfect way, a surrendered will, walking together with God in the midst of the trial, not resisting him and complaining to him and fighting against him in what he's trying to do inside of your life, but let patience have a perfect work, and it'll bring you closer to perfection, closer to maturity, closer to what you and I are supposed to be. So we can fully glorify him in our lives, which is the whole purpose that he calls us to, is to glorification. Let's pray. Father, may you help us in this, Lord. Father, you're so good, Lord. Whenever we trust in you, you never fail, Lord. And you come out glorious, even as the prophet said. And your purpose in all of these things is to make yourself more real. So to every one of your children tonight, let it be so. May you quicken our faith. And Lord, develop that endurance inside of us, Lord, that you may just hold on to your hand, even when the way is dark, even when we don't understand, but to trust in you. Father, if it's patience we need, if it's temperance we need, no matter what manner of circumstances you've put us in at this time, give us wisdom, Lord, that you may glorify you in it, that your will may be done. In the midst of these things, we pray. May you bless your people, each and every one this night. Anybody that should watch this down the way, may your blessing be upon them. And be with us in the remainder, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you this evening. Anybody want to say something there? Ask something, say something, testify of something. Or people just saying, hey, let's move on to the next topic. And this is a hard saying, who can bear it? Hey, let's get on to something which is more positive. Hey, friends, this is really positive. This brings the positive things inside of your life. I mean, because yeah, that character, that when the Lord develops character inside of you, he can trust you with far greater things than he could before. Wow. Revelation, anointing, responsibility, whatever that it is, authority. Every one of us desire to go deeper in those things. And the prophet showing us here the building blocks, you know, the seven steps to perfection. May the Lord help us. Anybody else, apart from me, want to say something? Or do we get an early night tonight? Brother Faithful, God bless, bro.
God bless you, sir. Nothing much to say than to say actually that it's a great lesson in the sense that it's not always easy when you are in the, when you look at it in hindsight, you look at the life of Job, for example, in hindsight, to be like, okay, wonderful. This was the great benefit that came at the end of the waiting period. But when you are in a situation whereby you're waiting or the Lord is trying to teach you temperance and patience, if the Lord does not give you the wisdom, just as he said that anyone that lacks wisdom should ask, to know that there is the end of the Lord and there is something that the Lord wants to build at the end of the day for you, it's hard to wait. It's hard to be that patient because when you're in the situation, it seems as if that you just want to get out of it. You just want to get out of that. Just want to, for you want the relief that you're in another level or you're in the next thing or you that time is not there. You are just waiting, you just to leave the situation. Sometimes during that period, one thing I see is that we can then fail to get the lesson.
Amen.
We can then fail to get the skill that the Lord is trying to develop in our life, which then further elongates the wait.
Amen. True.
Because the Lord must still develop that in us for us to come up to what He wants us to be. So when we don't, allow patience to have a perfect work,
Yeah.
sometimes makes the situation for us to stay longer in it. So it's a very interesting subject for me.
It's true, bro. I find
Pray
it
that the
as
Lord
well.
give us the grace to wait.
Yeah, just in what you're saying there, which is so true, is that, I mean, you think of the prophet when he went to South Africa and he listened to those ministers. Now, the Lord needed to develop something inside of him. So he went through his suffering after that. Then the Lord brought him back, and then he was sent, remember that one, to Battle Creek. Yeah, and then he saw the vision and he misunderstood the vision of which way you're supposed to go. He went to the wrong place. And the Lord now put him, I think, in Battle Creek, put him back in the situation. The Lord came and told him, you shouldn't be here, you should be in the other place. And now the ministerial committee was there, Brother Baxter was there, just the same. And the prophet says, he brought me back to exactly the same situation that I'd failed in South Africa. And I was determined now to say, this time I'm not going to fail him. He says, so he now learned. And the Lord is so faithful because it's very rare. I mean, like when we looked at Abraham, that was the 10th and greatest trial of Abraham. When he was told to go and offer Isaac, God didn't come in Genesis 12 and say, go and offer your son. He wasn't able to bear that. But from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, the Lord's doing something. He has his Melchizedek's bread and wine. Here now he's meeting El Shaddai, on the breast of God. And then, he's sitting down with Elohim. He's eating with him discernment. Now he's been circumcised, given a new name. So it's progressive going on. Yeah, and that's how the Lord deals with us. But on the big lessons that hold us back from our real adoption, yes, sometimes we fall short and the Lord has to take us around again. It's okay. That's okay. Let me encourage you a little bit down the way, and then I'm going to put you back in the same situation and let's see how you do it this time. And then the second time, now the prophet had learned the lesson and the Lord took him from there. And I think that's the goodness of the Lord. He's determined to see us through. All that he foreknew, he called. All that he called, he justified. All that he justified, he's already glorified. So he'll get you there. He may have to take it the hard way like Samson. Samson didn't have to give God glory in his death the way that he did. Samson could have been a judge. He could have been a great judge. He could have been a Joshua, to deliver his people and keep them in the inheritance. But his will got in the way and stuff like that. But the Lord still, in the end, was glorified in the life of Samson. But, I'd rather go the way of Joshua. That Joshua, he walked, didn't turn to the left or to the right, meditate there in day and night. He whatever Moses taught, that did Joshua. So, there's different ways you could go, but God will never lose his children like we saw on Sunday. Yeah, and he knows how to get you there. If you don't want to get out the nest when it's time to get out the nest, he knows how to change your circumstances until you want to get out the nest. God is determined for his children to fly. He's determined that Christ is developed in you and this. But the greatest thing to do is keep your faith in it. Keep the right attitude. That's the right atmosphere now for him to do what he's designed to do in that situation. Now keep your faith. So it's true what you've said, bro. Thanks for that. So Susan said it's a wonderful, necessary lesson. We need more patience and temperance. Absolutely. I think, we all have it as believers, but it needs to be developed. When the prophet says it in the stature of a perfect man, it's like someone developing muscles, You know, you've got to exercise these things for them to be developed. Now, don't put yourself in a trial. God knows what you can take. He knows what you need to go through and when you need to go through it. And he'll prepare you beforehand. He'll speak to you. He'll anoint you. Then he puts you into the situation. God doesn't normally drop his children into something unprepared. When Christ came, first he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. And the Lord will prepare you. You'll find that, look what he did to the church ages. He sent a message. Be thou faithful unto death. He anointed them and prepared them. And then he brought the fiery trial. And they stepped into the arenas and were fed to the lions and all that. But you know, the Lord had conditioned and prepared them for the great trial. You know, and that's his work. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And he knows the way we take, like Job says, and afterwards will come forth as gold. So we leave the leading into his hand. We do the following and we'll be fine with the right attitude. Anybody else before we finish their sins? May the Lord help us indeed. Sometimes we need temperance because people can be one of the greatest trials we have. That's how it was with Jesus. Now, at first, the great trial that Jesus had was in the wilderness. It was the devil coming directly, you know, to try to appeal to his human nature, to his weaknesses, his hunger and things like that. Then he overcame those things. Then it became a different kind of a trial. You know, then it becomes those kinds of trials where they call you a false prophet and they beat you and they abuse you and stuff like that. And you do like Judas, they kiss you as if they're your friend and they're not. That's another kind of a trial. Now that needs something to kick in, temperance to kick in at that time. So now we really need an all-rounded Christian character. We can be strong like John on certain things. And then we put in a unique situation. We find it very difficult to handle, but it's okay. There's a reason. There's a purpose. John the Baptist did the right thing. He appealed his case to Christ, you know, and the Lord sent him back. Go and tell John the things that you see, and told him the scripture. And John was satisfied. You never hear him saying anything after that. Now he submits himself to his trial, and he goes now and he glorifies the Lord in his death. And that's what we desire. So may the Lord help us. Okay, let's ask Brother Sasha to pray for us tonight. And God bless you, saints. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for your patience tonight. Maybe your temperance when I said certain things you needed, brotherly kindness needed to kick in, but may the Lord richly bless you. Let's ask Brother Sasha to pray.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this teaching, Lord. And Lord, when we hear these things, we see how much we need you, Lord, and your wisdom, Lord, and how much we miss things, Lord, in our lives and take it for granted, Lord, during the day, maybe, Lord, and how many tested we are put in during the days, Lord, that we don't see them, Lord. But when we hear these things, Lord, we think that we should be more careful, more conscious of you and our purpose in this world, Lord, that we are here to glorify you, Lord, to see you in us, Lord, in every aspect, Lord, to have your character like the Bible said, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, thank you for everything. Lord, bless each and everyone who is listening here. And Lord, let us meditate on these things and pray, Lord, and think, Lord, and let us give you place, Lord, to lead us in these things and show us individually where we stand, Lord, and what we need, Lord. Because I believe, Lord, first me, Lord, and I believe there are many here, Lord, that we need real patience and real temperance. Lord, please. Have mercy and thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. God bless you, saints. Have a wonderful night.
Greetings. Thanks, Pastor. That was deep. God bless. Shalom.
George, God bless you, bro. God bless you, saints.
Bless you.
God bless you, each and every one.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless.